coming up in the Authorpreneur podcast. But once you have that initial spark of an idea, you then have to flesh this out. And how you do that is you sort of ask yourself, what happens next? Welcome to the Authorpreneur podcast. I'm your host, mystery author Amelia D. Hay. On this podcast, I will bring you writing, book marketing, and self-publishing advice so that you can create your dream author business, build your author platform, and be creatively independent. You can find the episode show notes and lots more information on the podcast page at authorpreneurpodcast.com/podcast. Hello, writers. Since 2014, I've written 2 novellas, 1 short story, and 2 full-length novels, 3 of which have been self-published. At present, 1 novel is being rewritten because I wanted to change a story device and plot thread in the book. For me, this second storyline was unrealistic and painted the character in an unprofessional light, thus creating a sense of distrust with the reader. I needed the character to be seen as trustworthy for the reader. The second full-length novel is waiting for its turn to be published. After I wrote that novel, I realised the story occurs further on in the series. Between 2011 and 2014, I wrote screenplays, then changed to writing novels when I discovered self-publishing. But enough about my writing journey. In this episode, I will discuss how I go from story idea to a fleshed out outline. I know this is obvious, but this is my process as opposed to the way to outline a novel. This process has evolved since my very first novel. As I progressed to writing the next story, more steps were added to my intricate outlining process. After self-publishing my first novella in 2020, I added another step to my outlining process, but I will share this in a separate episode because it's a huge step and needs a detailed explanation. This episode is not scripted because I want it to be a chat about how I outline a novel. In saying that, I have compiled a list of steps and broke down exactly how I outline a story. Each of these steps has a bullet point list of notes to help me stay on track. I'm sharing this with you so you know that I've thought about this episode in detail. Because there's no script, I'm not sure how long this episode will be in terms of minutes. Depending upon the length of the show, I may choose to divide this up into 2 or 3 parts, which I will release on a weekly basis. The one thing I do know is this first episode will focus on how I create a basic outline, and the subsequent episodes will focus on the steps that make my outline more of a zero draft. Before I dive into my outlining process, here's what you need to know. I write in scenes, not chapters. Division into chapters happens after the outlining phase, and I picked up this habit in terms of a scene, writing scenes from screenwriting. So when I think of a scene, I've got a definition here somewhere that keeps me on track, and I've covered it with the Mad Hatter. What an idiot. So my definition is a scene is a unit of story that takes place in a specific location and time. If one of these things changes, you have a new scene. And coincidentally, I'm going to devote an entire episode to that later on in this season. I write murder mysteries with more than one POV character. My process takes a lot of work and is really an extensive outline or zero draft. You don't have to follow my process exactly. Feel free to pick out and choose aspects that may work for you. A lot of what I do is because I write in the mystery genre. This process has evolved over the course of writing 5 fiction works in the mystery genre and usually takes 32 hours over a 15-day period to complete. And those 15 days aren't necessarily consecutive 15 days because I've realized how that sounds. And sometimes in those 15 days, I will only work on the book for like an hour or two, or 30 minutes. Actually, I think maybe the shortest one has just been just under an hour. And I documented that because I was curious, because I wanted to know how long do I actually spend doing these things? And I'm wondering if over time, I'm going to get quicker at outlining or not. I guess we'll see how it goes, I guess. Before we get into the content, if you're interested in reading the transcript or would like links to anything that I've mentioned in the show, then check out the very long blog post or edited transcript at authorpreneurpodcast.com/TAP034. And if you're on YouTube, you'll notice that I've gone back to an audio-only version of the podcast. I've had to pull the plug on the video podcast because I've had issues with outside noise interfering with the episodes. In the audio podcast, these noises are easy to filter out than the video. For those of you who are new to the podcast, I want to say a huge thank you for stopping by and trying out my show. To those of you who have been faithfully listening, thank you for regularly listening in and supporting me. Your support means more to me than you know. And now for an update from the future. Since I've recorded the introduction for all of these episodes, I have realized that the content part of the podcast that focuses on me is talking about how I outline and walking you through all the various bells and whistles that are involved in that. It actually covers 56 minutes of me talking with short breaks to break up the content. I did edit that down from an hour and 27 minutes, but because it's such a long time and it is a lot of information to take in, I've decided that I'm going to break this up into three parts. So this is now a three-part mini-series. Throughout all three of these episodes, I reference my outline spreadsheet. Over on the blog post for these episodes, I share screenshots of this spreadsheet or parts of this spreadsheet that is relevant to what I'm talking about. So if you're curious as to what a particular aspect of my outline spreadsheet looks like, you can go over to the blog post for these episodes and check that out. It's just in the moment, I don't always let you know that there is a screenshot available. Anyway, I hope you enjoy this and I hope you get something out of it that helps you write your first book or your next book. So step one is to flesh out the story idea. So when I think of story ideas, as I look back over the books that I have written and attempted to reverse engineer exactly how it happened, I've discovered that I get ideas from a few different places, and I'm going to share with you exactly where I've gotten ideas from. One of my books, I was using Rory's Story Cubes, and I came up with a combination of dye, and I was really intrigued, and I used it deliberately to create a short story. And I created a series of writing vlogs where I talked about how I use Rory's Story Cubes to write a short story. Sorry, I'm just going to go onto my YouTube channel and see if I can actually find those particular episodes. And I have since found that video. It's called Writing a Story Using Story Cubes and a Massive Tea Haul, behind the scenes vlog number 8. And I'll leave a link to that in the show notes in your favorite podcasting app, and I'll embed the video in the blog post over on my website. And there have been a couple of times where I've gotten an idea for a scene, and usually that scene is what happens to the victim of the crime, and that crime is always a murder. And I had this idea with the candidate, and it was literally the candidate, who is a magistrate who is about to be sworn in as judge, but his title isn't official, so he's still technically a candidate. I had this vivid image of him staggering through his pristine white hall and foyer, bleeding to death with an arrow in his heart. I'm sorry if you're a bit queasy, because that would have been a bit too much, but that's the idea for that particular scene that I had. And I then had to reverse engineer, you know, what happened, the who, what, how. Well, we sort of know the how, but I needed to get into greater detail about the how, and that's sort of how that story started. And one of my books was actually inspired by a TV show I really loved that happened in the 90s, and I was a huge fan of the show, and I loved the first two seasons. After that, it got really weird and it was cancelled. And with one particular story, and I have it on the back burner, I need to write it as a freebie that goes with one of the novels that I've already written. And it came out of curiosity about what happens in the behind the scenes of a theatre production. And spoiler alert, someone dies backstage. And this is the idea that I had for this thing that I haven't written yet. That's another short story. So here's an example. I've actually found an example of just a raw idea I had for Missing. And it's in its early stages, like it's a part of the outlining process where I've started to flesh out the story idea. It's so raw that I haven't named any of the characters. I've just given them generic names, with the exception of James Lon, because he's obviously going to be in every book in the series. So here's the opening scene of Missing when I wrote it way back in, maybe it was 2016. I'm not 100% sure. Female Indiana Jones character wakes up to discover that an artifact is missing and her assistant has been murdered. She has no memory of what happened the night before. With this particular opening scene, I've got no idea how I came up with this. It was just something that was floating around in my brain. And fun fact, as I wrote this book, I think it wasn't until I got to the 75th percent mark of the story that I realized that I knew it was, the artifact was a sword, and the sword was in pieces, and I just had no idea what kind of sword it could be. Maybe it was 60%. It was somewhere between 60 and 70% mark for the story. I realized that I wanted the artifact, aka the sword, to be Excalibur. So I had to go back and tweak that. And this story was supposed to be, Missing was supposed to be a story that bridged the gap between two story worlds that I wanted to create. I wanted to create a archaeological thriller sort of story world featuring one of the characters. And this was supposed to bring James Alond and those characters together, which is why there's an artifact in this book. And so when I decided that the artifact in this book was going to be Excalibur, it made the first story in that archaeological thriller series a little bit more clearer for me. And again, I haven't written that. In episodes TAP 002, TAP 007, and TAP 008, I talk about how to come up with a story idea and then flesh it out. But here it is in a nutshell. Once you have that first spark of a story idea, which is, you probably have that already if you're considering outlining, so I'm not going to go into how to get an idea for a story. I'm going to leave that one alone. But once you have that initial spark of an idea, you then have to flesh this out. And how you do that is you sort of ask yourself, what happens next? What happens before that? And what happens next? And you keep asking yourself, and then what happens? And then what happens? Until you sort of get to a stage where you feel like, maybe I need to start looking at this as a set of scenes. And intuitively speaking, you will get a feel as to when you need to do this. So quite often in Evernote, what will happen is I'll set a word count. That's just a guess. I'm really bad at guessing word counts in my books, just in general. I'll then create a working title, define the location. I'll then sort of brainstorm the elements in the story, like whether it's a mystery, thriller, antagonist reveal at the end of the novel, those kind of things. And I'll put that in there, and then I'll create the timeline. Like, where does this happen in the story? Because I have a tendency to write books out of order, and this is what I've done. So once I had that story idea with Missing, at the time it was called, the working title was called No Loose Ends, and I literally have like this bullet point list, and then it just says archaeologist returns home from a successful gig, artifact stolen, assistant found dead, and then I sort of think, okay, where does James come into this? And it's not in any particular order. I'll do a brain dump of just general ideas. It doesn't have to make any sense at this stage, because it just needs to be an idea to keep me going until I get to the point where I need to start thinking the story in terms of chapters, scenes, whatever it is for you, and plot elements. And that's how I do it. So if you have an idea for a scene, like, and you think, oh, that's a really cool scene, and you think, well, what do I do now? Just think of it as, well, what happens next? And then what happens after that? What else could happen in the story? Just keep asking yourself this question until you get to a stage where you don't have any more ideas, or you need to move on to a different tool in order to flesh out the story idea even further. And once you get a general gist of, oh, this could be a novella or a novel, this has enough content for it to be a novel, once you have that, you then need to move on to the next step in the process. If you've heard something useful in this episode that was helpful to you and you'd like to support the show, then buy me a coffee for as little as $2 at buymeacoffee.com/author AD Hay. Step number two is to create a list of plot point scenes. So after I flesh out the story idea, the next thing I do, and to be honest, I do these things simultaneously. I create a bullet point list of events that take place in the story. At this stage, I don't give any of the scenes plot point or story structure labels. It's just ideas. And it really is a brain dump, but usually this list becomes the skeleton of the story. So these really are the plot points. I just haven't set them in stone yet. And I don't do this in Scrivener or Excel. I actually create this list in Evernote because I use Evernote every day and I use it like a word processor, almost like a word processing software. But I like it because everything is kept in a container and I have lots of notebooks for various different things and I can search within that to find things. I can put labels on things. Everything's together. Whereas when you use a word processor, everything's separate and I find that annoying. But I really love Evernote and that's what I use for this. So what happens in Evernote is I'll create the list and I'll keep adding ideas to this list until I feel like I need more space to flesh out my ideas. This is where I turn to Scrivener and Excel, and I will update these simultaneously. Like, I know this sounds crazy. At this stage, I'll create the outline spreadsheet. I'll transfer the list of events, because they're events at this stage, from Evernote, and I'll add them into Excel. So usually it's one line per bullet note, and this is when they technically become scenes. And then I'll just keep fleshing it out. But at some stage in this process, I have to pause this brainstorming session and start thinking about other things to do with the story so that I can move forward and continue to flesh out a structurally sound outline. So step number three is write a list of suspects and character motivations. And this is something that I've added to my outlining process. It was after, because I kind of did this with Missing, but I didn't do it as extensively. And I didn't sort of look into the psychology of why people commit murders until the Duplicity rewrite. And while I was rewriting Duplicity, I was writing The Candidate. So I sort of did those things simultaneously because I was really struggling to rewrite Duplicity because I knew it needed to change. I wasn't happy with the story, but I just had no follow through. So I thought, maybe what I need to do is to write something new and at the same time work on the second James Lond novel. And looking back, I'm kind of glad I did that because I needed to do it. It's not something I recommend, but for me, at where I was at that time, I needed this. I needed to do something that was new and creative while rewriting the second book in the series. So as I create a list of suspects, usually at this stage, they'd just suspect one, two, whatever. And there's no detail. I haven't really named them at this stage. It's just they have very generic labels. So the first thing I think of is usually when I'm in the brain dump sort of idea phase of outlining, I do have some sense of the story, like the relationship between characters and who these characters are. So they're not completely unknown characters to me. So I sort of know how they're related to the victim. How they're related to the victim, not necessarily by blood, but what their relationship is, how they know them. I sort of know those very basic details. So from that, I sort of consider their motive for committing the crime. Why would this person choose to kill the victim? And this is where I sort of look into the psychology of murder. And I know this is going to come across as sexist, but I have read a number of psychology articles that sort of talk about certain genders are more likely to murder for different reasons. And I do consider this when I consider the character and their sex, because obviously gender is a different concept. Gender is more what you identify as, whereas someone's sex relates to them on the chromosomal level, if that makes sense. So after I get clear on what their motive is and the reason behind that, I then sort of consider how they react when they're being interviewed by James. And I consider the things that they tell James that are the truth and the lies the characters reveal in the interviews because during a murder investigation, people don't just come out with the truth. That's not human nature. We do have a tendency to, because we are social creatures and we have this innate need to be accepted, we are more likely to lie to if we feel like it's going to make us look bad, or if you think it's going to make you look like a suspect when you haven't committed a murder. So that's why some people lie. And I consider why these characters are choosing to withhold truth. What is it about this truth that they can't seem to be able to admit to at this stage? And then I consider how James catches them out in the lie, because usually just because one person is lying about something, it doesn't mean everyone else is going to lie about it either. At some point, James is going to come across somebody who will say this, and he'll realize, oh yeah, what this person said can't be true, and this is the truth. So I consider how they're caught out in the lie. And I got this from Elizabeth Spann Craig's blog, where she talks about writing cozy mysteries and the truths and the lies characters tell, because it's more convenient for the story if characters are lying about things, but you need to make it realistic. Why would someone realistically lie about this? And I will go back and figure out where I found this article by Elizabeth Spann Craig, and I'll link it in the show notes in your favourite podcasting app and over on the blog post. Step number four is to figure out how the crime takes place. So it is what it says on this tin, and this is going to sound super dubious, but I figure out exactly how the crime takes place. So if the motive for the crime is just rage and someone murders somebody out of rage, that's obviously going to be quicker. But in that case, or in the case of any motive really, I have to consider the events that lead up to the crime occurring. I'm trying not to spoil anything, but these events that lead up to the crime are generally not featured in the story in real time. So this is what James has got to figure out: what led to the murder, why they were murdered, and how. Sometimes the how is super obvious. Well, the how is super obvious, usually. Usually an autopsy elaborates on that. Then I create a timeline for the crime. So in this timeline, I include events that lead up to and actually the crime, where it takes place, who is there, what is used, and what the aftermath of the crime looks like. Like what evidence is splattered where? Because this is important when I write that scene where James discovers the crime scene, because that's something that happens in my story too. There are a few things that happen. You see the victim dying, and it's always from the victim's point of view because it's a murder mystery. I can't give away the end at the beginning. That's silly. The victim has the most to lose too, and you have to make it realistic. So obviously he's not going to, like, the victim isn't going to be like, I can't believe such and such murdered me, because no one thinks that. Like, you imagine how you would feel if you were dying and what would be going through your mind, and fight or flight would kick in, and you wouldn't necessarily be wanting to accuse someone. You'd be more focused on trying to survive the event so that you can make sure that the person who tried to do this to you would get what was coming to them. So that's what they would be focusing on, and that's what you sort of see, that fight and flight in the scene, and you see them trying to survive and ultimately failing, because if they don't fail, there's no story. Yeah, so I figure out the timeline of the crime, and I split the timeline in two, because there's obviously another timeline that's actually really important to the story, and that is actually the next step. Step number five is to get clear on the villain's timeline. So usually with this timeline, I focus on, once again, the events that lead up to the crime for the villain. Sometimes these things do overlap because at some stage the villain and the victim are in the same room, but I write up that list of events leading up to the crime from the villain's point of view, and then what the villain does after, immediately after the crime takes place. So I'm not talking about days after, like after the person has been murdered, what do they do? Do they try and clean up? Do they move the body? All of these things, how they move the body, if they do that, and everything within a few hours after the crime, you get it. I don't particularly stay in this head, the villain's headspace, for too long, because it's horrible. And I guess that's all I can really say about that. I'm really trying not to spoil my stories for people. I'm not saying that everyone on my podcast probably reads my books, because that's not true, because you're all writers and you're too busy writing your own things. But I'm just trying to not spoil things just in case a reader does come across this podcast. Step number 6 is to define the 3-act structure plot points. So after I create these timelines, I do those timelines in Scrivener, actually. I didn't point that out, and I should have. But I then turn back to Excel and I start labeling certain scenes in the story. I start labeling certain scenes or the rows in Excel as plot points if they are those plot points. And I also have a column for the act 2. I've got one column for the act and I just label 1 at the start of act 1. I usually break act 2 up into 2 parts. So technically I have a 4-act thing going on. So each section is exactly 25% of the story and I label all of the scenes. So I'm actually going to open up Excel. So the plot points that I label are the hook, which is usually for me a prologue, the ordinary world scene, the inciting incident, the act 1 turning point, the point of no return, or the first plot point. And there's also a reaction to that as well. And I put all of those things in one scene. Then there's the start of act 2. Then I have the realization, which happens at the 37% to 50% mark of the story. Then there's the midpoint. Then there's the start of act 3, which is the second half of the second act. Then there's the second pinch point, the renewed push, the dark night of the soul, realization, the confrontation, the climactic moment. And then after that, there's the resolution and the return to the real world and an epilogue, which should point to the next book in the series. So those are the plot points I try and define at this stage. Usually when I do the character motivations in step 3, I sometimes add scenes to the outline because I realize, oh, I need to interview this person here. Then this leads him to interview this person and then this person. And then he comes back and interviews this person because he realizes they lied about that. And that makes him having to go back and interview these people. And I add these vague scenes in there, usually at the start of the second act and towards the end of the second act. So by the end of the second act, both of those parts, he needs to have done all of the interviews, because the act 3 really is it's the climactic moment of the story, and you need to sort of ramp the story up to its peak and then wrap it all up in that sort of 25% time space. So all of this investigation needs to happen before that, and no new information needs to come to light in the third act. It's only confirmation of what they've already known. So they finally get the evidence to prove that you did this. And the reason why I put in these plot points is I want to make sure that the midpoint is actually in the midpoint of the story. That if it happens too soon, it means the second half of the story is going to lag and it's going to suck for the reader. So I want to make sure that that happens exactly where it needs to be. And to be honest, this is the only part of the story where I want this, that I really fixate on getting the midpoint to where it needs to be. Whereas anything else, as long as the story is interesting, if it occurs a little earlier or later, it doesn't really matter. Having the inciting incident exactly on the 10% mark, I'm not sure if it actually matters, especially if the story is interesting and the reader is just flipping the pages. As long as it's not dragging, I think that's what matters. But just to clarify, I do have 2 separate columns. One is just the act label. The second column after that is the plot point label. And that's just for the early stages to help me see the structure of the story. By now you're thinking, she's finally finished explaining her outlining technique. Sorry folks, I haven't. Yes, there's more. And you'll find these steps in next week's episode of the Authorpreneur Podcast. I hope this episode gives you a few things to consider as you outline your first or next book. As always, I have a few important questions to ask. How do you outline your novels? Or how are you outlining your first story? I want to hear from you. Come on over to the blog post at authorpreneurpodcast.com/TAP034 and share your process or struggles with outlining in the comments section. Thank you for listening and happy reading and writing, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Authorpreneur Podcast. If you love this episode, then hit the subscribe button and leave a review on your favorite podcasting app. I'm your host, Amelia D. Hay, and I'll see you next week for another episode.